seconds.
One time for the underdog.
One time for the underdog.
Ignition sequence start.
Let me see you put 'em up. Reach the sky, touch the stars up above. Cause it's one time for the underdog. One time for the underdog.
You're listening to the Valuetainment Podcast, where we discuss various strategies that will help you scale your business to the next level. I'm your host, Patrick McDavid, and we have a treat today because we're going to talk about something that maybe you heard growing up, which is, are all rich people greedy? These rich people, you know, don't you get sick and tired of them? All they care about is money. They're such greedy people, right? You know, it's crazy, all this stuff I'm telling you. I grew up believing this. I literally grew up despising rich people. I had certain relatives when we grew up in Tehran, Iran. We were in low-income families, so I've never lived in a house. I've never lived in a house. We never had a backyard. It was always an apartment. And so we come to the States, parents get a divorce. I joined the army. I come out, and all of a sudden, I read a quote in a book I read when it was at Bally Total Fitness. This guy recommends me this book, and the quote is, if you're born poor, it's not your fault. But if you die poor, it's your fault, by Bill Gates. I said, wait a minute. What do you mean if I'm born poor, it's not my fault, but if I die poor, it's my fault? You're trying to say, if I don't die rich, it's my fault and it's all because of me? Yes. Why? Because you control your choices. Your friendships, your association, what you feed your mind, what you read, how much TV you watch, how hard you work, how much you're improving, what industry, this is all your choices. You have your choices. But Pat, I live in a different country. You have a choice to live there or not, or leave to another country. But Pat, you don't understand. You have choices. And when that got into my brain, I realized one thing. I had a choice to think all rich people were greedy and bad people, and you and I will never become what we hate. And I couldn't stand rich people. And I had to shift that mind. Let me tell you, it's not easy to do. I had to shift that mindset. When I did, and I realized all these stereotypes and these myths, all of them were debunked, then I started thinking in a complete different way. And I'm here to tell you, my entire outcome of this entire video is for you. By the time we're done, if you don't have any problem with rich people, then this video is going to just validate a lot of the points that you have for yourself and even give you more ammunition when you talk to other people. But if you're somebody that grew up in a family that didn't have a lot of money and you have this intuition or you have this, you know, stereotype of how rich people are, I hope by the time we're done, you're going to think about it differently. Now, let's start off here. Rich people. Man, they're not happy. They're so miserable. You know, rich people are not happy. You think they're happy, they're not happy. I would hear this stuff, right? Here's what I learned about how rich people are. It's not the fact that they're not happy. They're absolutely very happy. They're not content. They are not content. Let me elaborate. So, New England Patriots just won the Super Bowl this past week, and what's the coach's name? Belichick and Edelman are being interviewed by Jimmy Fallon. And Jimmy Fallon says, hey, Bill, when I look at you, you just don't look like you're happy. He says, man, are you ever happy? He says, I am happy. It's just life to me is football, and I do football. He says, but man, you guys are the greatest organization, greatest coach, all this stuff. He says, but I'm a football guy. So it's always about how can we make the team better, the offense better, the defense better, the recruiting, the talent better. It's always how can we make plays better. And that comes across as not being happy, but all it is they're not content. They always want to do better. Next, rich people are selfish. It's mine. This is mine. That's mine. This is mine. That is mine. First of all, what is wrong with us wanting things that are ours? See, back in the days in 1990 or 1989, Gorbachev from Russia asks Reagan to come and visit him. He says, what can I do to make our economy be like America? So he goes there and says, listen, Reagan looks at everybody and says, everybody drives the same car. Everybody has the same house. Everybody eats the same food. Everybody wears the same color underwear, same clothes. What's this all about? He says, you got to give these guys an opportunity. If somebody wants to work hard and drive a nicer car, let them do it. If somebody wants to work hard to get a bigger house, let them do it. And then they switch to capitalism. And by the way, fast forward 25, 26 years later, today the number one country in the world in immigration is America with 40-something million. You know what number two is? Russia with 11 million. Why? Maybe capitalism attracted some people to want to go out there and live in Russia. And is it the perfect country? Of course it's not. Nowhere near it. But it attracts because people can finally say, it's mine. Next, take advantage of people. This actually does happen. However, you can't do this for too long. You cannot do this for too long. In the world of capitalism, if you take advantage of other people have the right to tell other people about their experience with you. And if it's valid and genuine and enough people say it, then people say maybe there's some truth to it. Now, There's one thing that you have enemies, and there's a lot of people, like, for instance, right now, the most hated person in the world today is Donald Trump. Just 6 months ago, the most hated person in the world was President Obama. Just 8 years prior to that, the most hated person in the world was George Bush. Just 8 years, the most hated person, it doesn't matter. Whoever that gets the biggest limelight will typically be the most hated person. But taking advantage of people, people will eventually find that there's something going on there. You can't do that in business for too long. You gotta take care of your people. If I don't take care of the best person that's working for me, he's leaving me. If I don't take care of the best executive, he's leaving me. If I don't take care of my best partners that are trusting us with tens of millions of dollars, they're leaving us. I have to understand that. I can, and if they don't treat us well, I'm leaving. So there's a certain relationship that's gotta be both ways, right? So this is a very, very honest formula. You don't do well, someone's leaving. Next, you know, money is their God. I used to hear this. All they care about is money. Money is their God. Well, first, here's what I wanna do. Why don't we break down what this whole meaning of their God? Is it because they spend the most time trying to get more money? Is that what it is? Well, then if that's the case, and if that's our definition of what God means, we can certainly say to most people, TV is their God. We can say Netflix is their God. We can say video games is their God. If somebody, all they want to do is play video games. We can say porn is someone's God. We can say sex is someone's God. We can say a lot of things is someone's God. So that's a lot of things that we can say. But I can tell you one thing for a fact. Hey, when you do make more money, and you can do more with the money and create more jobs with the money, then it becomes a mathematical formula. You're just finding ways to do more with it. And if you're a good person, if you're watching this right now, let me ask you a question. You think you're a good person? I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. You think you're a good person? You think you're a good person? Do you think you're a good person? Really? So if you're a good person, I got a question for you. Let's just say you work very hard, and in the next 5 years, 10 years, all of a sudden you're worth $100 million. Would you do good for the world with that $100 million? What did you just say? Yes? Okay. Now, can you do better for the world with $100 million or with $200,000? Maybe you said $100 million. Can we help you go out there and make $100 million so you can do more good with that $100 million? What's wrong with if you make more money? Nothing wrong with that. It's a lot better if you just sit there and watch video games and Netflix and TV and all that other stuff, or even your phone and newsfeed and seeing what other people's lives look like. That's the point of money, right? Next. Everybody who's a billionaire, they made their money off real estate. It's actually not true. A few do, but not everybody does. Next, they don't give back. Here's an interesting stat. According to CNBC, the average ultra high net worth person gives $25 million back to charities during their lifetime. The average high net worth, ultra high net worth person gives $25 million back to a charity. Here's a crazy one. The average billionaire during their lifetime gives $100 million back to charity. So this whole thing about rich people don't give money back, believe it or not, who do you think funds most of these charities? Who do you think funds most of these nonprofits? You think $5 donations do? No, it's someone that comes in and writes the big check is what they do, right? Next, all they do is play golf. Some of them do, a lot of them do. Just recently I watched a movie, Founder, Ray Kroc. I think you gotta watch it. It's insane. Everybody's gotta watch this movie, Founder. And there's a scene there where, you know, Ray Kroc is trying to close this deal with this other guy to buy a couple of the franchises, and the guy hits the ball and he's 6 feet off. And he says, oh, that's pretty much, it's good, don't worry about it. Typically it's like 2 feet off to say, we'll count it as a shot. It was 6-7 feet off. He says, it's fine, it's good. Why? All he wanted to do was just do business deal. Ray Kroc's not trying to be a professional golfer. He's trying to do business. So if a wealthy person or a rich person golf, it's because they're trying to do business. Some of them actually love the game. I'm going to give that up because I've golfed with certain people that absolutely love the game, but not everybody. Next, yachts, homes, all this other stuff. Yeah, sure. Some billionaires have yachts. Some buy it very early. And a lot of them have private jets. Now, why do they have private jets? Let me explain to you why they have private jets. The other day, I have a business meeting to go to. In the airport, the airline takes 6 hours to find a replacement. Then the next one takes another 4 hours. I get there late to the appointment. I couldn't do the business deal. That could have been a good business deal. Never happened. This is when the person sits there and says, you know what? It's time to buy a private jet. It's $5 million. You're going to pay $100, $100,000 a month, maybe $50,000 a month. But it's worth the investment that you're gonna make to get there faster and get the appointments done. And imagine how many more places you can get to without having to go through security, TSA, 4 hours, drive all this other stuff. Boom, boom, you're out, you go. And the pilot waits and you come back, quick. So it's not necessarily about the lifestyle, it's more about the time that I can get to a place much faster. Next, every rich person out there is a Republican. Everybody, if you're rich, they must be Republicans. They're Trump voters. You know, they love Romney. They're Bush type of people. You know, believe it or not, a lot of millionaires are not Republicans. There's a lot of millionaires who, from California, lived in California for many years. Silicon Valley, most of them are liberals. They're mostly Democrats. You go into Hollywood, there's a lot of wealthy people. There's a lot of Democrats. There's a lot of liberals. You go to New York, lots of them over there, both states. They're typically going to be left. Trump didn't win New York. You don't win California. They're liberal states. And there's a lot of millionaires in those states. Now, how's that even possible? Well, being a millionaire or a billionaire or rich doesn't necessarily mean you have to become a Republican. They economically believe in capitalism. They don't believe in communism. They believe in capitalism. But socially, they believe in other things. Pro-choice, they may believe in certain things that conservatives may not believe in. But just because someone's rich doesn't make them a Republican. Next, they're narcissistic. All they want to do is look themselves in the mirror and just say, I'm so pretty, I'm so amazing, I'm so beautiful. They're narcissistic. They have problems with how much they admire themselves. One thing I noticed is, typically, somebody who lacks confidence, they don't like people with a lot of confidence, even though secretly they admire them, because like, man, how can somebody, they must be narcissistic. Now, this is not everybody. I'm not putting a blanket over everybody. But what I am telling you is, somebody who's extremely confident doesn't necessarily mean they're narcissistic. It's a strength. They believe in themselves. I wish everybody believed in themselves more. If everybody believed in themselves more, they're going to do better in their lives. Believe me, half the struggle is to make people believe that they can pull it off in their lives as well. That is half the struggle. That's what they got going on. Doesn't necessarily mean they're all narcissistic. Are there some narcissistic out there? Of course. Next, they don't pay their taxes. They don't pay their taxes. They don't pay their taxes. Paul, I'm going to do a basic mathematical formula here so we can actually look at it so you can see for yourself how this number works. Last year, America, the government, collected roughly $3.5 trillion in federal income taxes, okay? Now, let's set that aside for $3.5 trillion. Today in America, there's 158 million people in total workforce. These are 158 million people that work in America. The average salary is roughly $36,000. $36,000, 158 million people working. And let's say on average they pay 25% in taxes, which is $9,000. So if we take $9,000 multiplied times the 158, we get roughly $1.4 trillion, okay? That's how much the government collected last year, $1.4 trillion. If it was only collecting the money from people that make $37,000, $36,000 per year. Now watch this. You take $1.4 trillion, but we collected $3.5 trillion. Where's the other $2.1 trillion? Where did that come from? That's because the high income earners who make millions of dollars, they pay a lot of taxes. They pay a lot of taxes. Yes, there are some ways where they figure out ways to pay less taxes because somebody in the government they voted for changed certain laws that they pay less taxes. That's simply why it is. They can change it if they wanted to, but those loopholes are in because somebody funded someone's campaign 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. This is what happens, right? But regardless, they still pay their taxes. But Pat, you don't understand, Trump didn't pay his taxes. Let's just say Trump doesn't pay taxes. Of course, Trump pays his taxes, but let's just say Trump doesn't pay his taxes. Let's just say he doesn't. That's not everybody, if he didn't pay his taxes. I'm not even saying that he didn't pay his taxes. The point is, everyone's paying their taxes. How much? They're even paying more than a lot of people are paying. And last but not least is they party. All they do is they want to party. They're these extroverts. They're very good with people, and they just want to go out there, and they got these big personalities, all this other stuff. Could it be some? Sure. A lot of the people that I meet who are very well off, believe it or not, they actually kind of are the nicest people I meet. They're such nice people. And they want to be around their kids. They want to be around their families. They want to have their vacations. There's this one man that he's also in the insurance industry. You know, for 35 years, look at this year. For 35 years, he has one tradition. Every single year for 2 weeks, he pays for his entire family and he takes them on a cruise. He's done this for 35 years. Think about that. 2 weeks, they go on a cruise and the kids pick where they want to go. I said, how many were at this last one? He says 35 people. We're at this last one. I said, for 35 years, and 30, he says, 35 people. What do you pay for? He says, Pat, I pay for everything. Flight, room, food, everything. They pay for nothing. He does this every year. He wants his family to be around. He says, to me, if I could do everything and all the time I had to myself, I want to be around my family. The extravagant, all that other stuff could be a Hollywood type of a lifestyle, but it's not everybody. So having said that, I hear this so many times. Pat, I don't want to be rich because rich people are greedy and all they care about is themselves. Or I grew up with this myself, this mindset and all this other stuff. I want to talk about this because many people have requested on talking about this issue. And I got a book recommendation for you as well. This is a book by T. Harv Eker. It's called Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. I highly recommend it. It's exceptional. It's phenomenal. Everybody ought to read it. It'll make you think about millionaires and money in a completely different way. Thanks everybody for listening. And by the way, if you haven't already subscribed to Valuetainment on iTunes, please do so. Give us a 5-star, write a review if you haven't already. And if you have any questions for me that you may have, you can always find me on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Just search my name, Patrick Bit-David. And I actually do respond back when you snap me or send me a message on Instagram. With that being said, have a great day today. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.